Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now save $30 on the American-made Steel FS56 RCE trimmer. Real Steel. The FS56 RCE is made in America of U.S. and global materials. Offer valid through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details. Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $20 on the Steel MS-162 or MS-170 chainsaw. Real Steel. Offer valid through June 30th, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
What is up, family? I won't call it breaking news, but as we get to kick off on Speak, there is some urgent news. Remember, chaos completely unfolded with the Buffalo Bills. They started the season 5-5 with the whole world watching on Monday night and a collapse by the offense. Remember what occurred. Stephon Diggs, superstar wide receiver, his brother, all-pro cornerback, Trayvon Diggs, chimed in and said, hey, man, 14 got to get up out of there. Well, 14 is obviously Stephon Diggs, his brother. The next morning, if you recall, he woke up and he said, let's not forget, he didn't start going off, he being Josh Allen, until bro got there. But finally, we got a response. 48 hours later, this morning, Stephon Diggs, star wide receiver, he spoke up. Listen to what he had to say.
I'm not responsible for how other people feel. Anybody in this room, for this man, a reporter, a player, even my own brother, you know what I'm saying? Like, I love my brother. And the space that my brother's coming from is my family. You know what I'm saying? So you want to know how he feels, you got to take it up with him. You know what I'm saying? Like, putting me in a position or me having a conversation with my brother, that's outside. That's in-house family rules. But for me, I can't combat or answer all the questions as to why. You know what I'm saying? With people in the world and, you know what I'm saying, X, Y, Z. Like, that's something you're going to have to ask my brother how he feels about it.
I got a huge issue with what Stephon Diggs said right here. Not because anything he said was inaccurate. I love what he says, defending his brother. I had a brother that played in the National Football League while I was playing in the National Football League. I get all of that. The issue I have is it was an incomplete statement, because though you have a literal brother in Trayvon Diggs, you got a figurative brother in your quarterback, Josh Allen, who got a shot taken at him by your literal brother. So in that moment, Stephon Diggs, superstar wide receiver, just speak up on behalf of your figurative brother, Josh Allen, and put an end to all this drama. Mm-hmm. Like, keep in mind, Josh Allen is currently undergoing the worst start of his career since his rookie year. It's bad. It's real bad. He's starting to have doubts for himself on the football field. So many of us, we've all experienced that. But on top of that, now you got people outside the locker room with prominent voices that are your sibling. Mm-hmm. Stephon Diggs taking a shot. I don't mind Shady him taking up for his brother. I respect that. Do that all day, all long. But my real issue, James Jones, is the aspect of, like, why not defend Josh Allen in that moment?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, and I think for Stephon Diggs, I got two little boys too, and I always tell them, you don't never throw your brother under the bus, point blank, period. I don't care how it may look. So I'm good with you getting up there and not throwing your brother under the bus. But yes, you easily could have put an end to all this just by protecting Josh. Like, listen, man, I know my brother tweeted out some of them things, man. It ain't no shots at Josh Allen. Josh Allen is a special quarterback, man, me here or not, whatever it may be. You know what I'm saying? But because at the end of the day, we know those tweets come out of your guys' conversations and the conversations you guys have at home, phone calls away on the bus, after games, whatever it may be. Those are the conversations that you guys have. So it's truth in these things that you are tweeting out there. So as a brother of Josh Allen, it's easily to not to throw your brother under the bus, but hey, to be able to just protect Josh Allen a little bit and be like, look, man, my brother ain't shooting no shots at Josh Allen, man. Josh Allen, we all know, has done a lot of really good things in this league. He would have done a lot of really good things in this league without me, with me, whatever it may be. But protect him a little bit. I thought him doing the way he answered those questions, you know, protecting your brother, but you never said anything about helping or protecting Josh Allen. I thought he could have put an end to it and put all of it to rest.
Look, clearly, Stephon is about his family. I don't think that hat was an accident either. So, I got a brother who played in the NFL too, and nobody better fix their lips. What did you say? Have you said what? Calm down. Every single time about my brother. There's brothers and then there's actual brothers. And yes, Josh Allen is his brother, but Trayvon is his actual brother. So he may feel that saying something to defend Josh Allen is disrespecting his actual brother based on their dynamic. Then maybe this is the conversation that they had and Trayvon feels that way. Also, Trayvon's allowed to feel that way. As we discussed this the first time around with this story, he has a lane of his own. He is a star in his own right. If he was talking about any other player that wasn't his brother, we might say, oh, yeah, he might have a point there. He's actually watching and digesting this game, and that's his opinion about the situation. And maybe that is just his opinion about the situation. We don't know that. But for him to get up there and squash all this is happening because they're losing. All of this is happening because they're losing. And we can also attribute a big part of why they're losing to Josh Allen's play. Mm-hmm. Now, is this adding to the locker room drama? Is this causing him to have to answer questions to reporters? Yes. Could all that have been avoided if he didn't tweet it? Yes. But he did, and I don't have a problem with him saying, go ask my brother.
Do you have an issue with him not defending Josh Allen at all? Like, he didn't say that I disagree that Josh Allen was nobody before I got there. He didn't say I disagree with what my brother said. He didn't say I'm behind Josh Allen. He didn't say I believe in Josh Allen. He didn't say anything that supported Josh Allen at all whatsoever in that moment.
I don't know the dynamic of Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs' relationship at this point. That's been discussed for a long time. It looked like it was falling apart before the season. It was a conversation about if they were on the same page before the season. So I think we'll get some more answers once the season is over about what their relationship is like. And maybe you should just blindly defend your teammate. But things are bad in Buffalo right now.
So you have no issue with it?
I think he's being as honest as he can be in this situation. So I don't.
2-5, where you stand on it?
Yeah, I have no problem with it. I mean, as I listen to the interview, I'm just thinking like, okay, if I was in his shoes and I have a brother, older brother actually played in the NFL as well. And he's super vocal, right? Whatever he says, he believes. And there's sometimes I can't control him. And now I look back on this story, and you can see the interview. He wasn't comfortable, right? Yeah. This is your brother and it's your quarterback. And I think you love them both. Obviously, you love your brother way more, but you got love for Josh Allen. My thing is, like, he stayed clear from it. Like, look, man. My brother is an all-pro cornerback. Trayvon Diggs is a really, really good player. He has his own voice. He plays for Dallas Cowboys. So when he speaks, it's going to go everywhere. And why do I have to separate and give you an answer about what my brother said? Call asking. You guys are reporters. Go ask him what he means by that. Right? And I love that take because it went so many different ways. Now you're in your head, am I defending my brother? Am I defending Josh? No, listen, man. Obviously, Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs together have done some great things. Mm-hmm. When he came here in 2020, they both made Pro Bowls and All Pros.
Yeah.
Well, Stephon Diggs made the All Pro. And ever since he's been in Buffalo, his career has went up and up. So everything Josh Allen has been doing has been excellent. Now this year, when you lose, things like this happen. Mm-hmm. Right? All the small little things. I just think about, like, as a head coach, if Andy Reid or Sean McDermott, I play underneath both of them coaches, and this is a question. We lose a game, and the question is, how do you feel about Trayvon Diggs' tweets? As a head coach, I'm saying, like, what, my man? What are we talking about? And that's the way I looked at it. Like, if you want to talk about this Twitter or X, whatever they call it now, you go to address that with the player that said it, right? And that's my thing about it. Let's be grown-ups and mature adults about this. Anybody can get on there and tweet. They can do all that tweeting on they want because they're professionals. That's what they can do. And one guy got his own platform. So I love everything he said. I stand behind him. Like, he stayed in the middle clear of it.
It's interesting, though. When I heard this, James, when I heard this, Joy, I instantly thought, this is the beginning of the end for the Buffalo Bills. Mm. And what I mean by that is this is the beginning of the end for this Buffalo Bills. I think about the Mount Rushmore of the Buffalo Bills from roughly 2019, you could say, to 2021, 2022. Sean McDermott, Leslie Frazier, Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs. Yeah. That was the Mount Rushmore. Those were the four most important figureheads for the Buffalo Bills. Two defensive, Leslie Frazier, Sean McDermott. Two offensive, Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs. Well, Leslie Frazier is gone. Sean McDermott said, hey, I'm good on you. You gone. That leaves three. Based on the tension that is occurring right now, it appears that Stephon Diggs will likely be gone. That leaves two. Sean McDermott, you're a defensive coach who's had two different offensive coordinators in the last 12 months. So Sean McDermott has 5-5, which is a worse record to start for the Buffalo Bills since, I believe, 2018. At 5-5, Sean McDermott, he too could be gone. I don't anticipate it, but crazier things have happened. Yeah. And this would not be the craziest. So if Frazier's gone, Stephon Diggs, it seems like he would like to be gone. Many analysts are anticipating he will be gone. Sean McDermott, he could be gone. To me, this is the beginning of the end for the Buffalo Bills, at least this version of the Bills as we know it, James.
Yeah, I believe you're right. I think this team is going to look totally, totally different next year. And I don't think they'll fire the coach. I think McDermott will be there. I think he's earned the right to be there with what he's done and coming to Buffalo and changing that thing around and then being in the playoffs, winning the division multiple times in a row. I don't think he will be there. But I think Stephon Diggs will be gone. I think some changes will be made. I mean, Joy touched on it, all the tension that was happening already this offseason with him and Josh Allen. Now this coming out, you know, and knowing that it's some truth in this as well. I think Stephon Diggs will be out of there. I think some of those veteran safeties are going to be out of there. I think this is going to be a whole new revamped offense, revamped defense. I think the only guy that is the guys are going to stay put is the coach and is the quarterback. And I think it's going to take some time and some years to get them dudes in there to be able to compete with these boys in the AFC.
Hold up. Can't let you do it.
Talk to me.
You said who's going to be there? The coach and the who?
I said the coach and the quarterback going to be there next year.
You told me that the quarterback's
going to be. Yeah, I didn't say none of them going to be gone next year.
No, but next 2 years. Next year, Josh Allen going to be traded, right?
But I don't think McDermott or Allen going to be gone next year.
But next 2 years, he's going to be gone.
I think so. It's going to be some changes, yes.
Okay. I don't see them getting rid of Josh Allen.
I don't either.
I don't anticipate that. I think one stretch of a bad season is not enough to bail on a talent like Josh Allen that, like we've said multiple times, people would do ungodly things to get someone of the talent level of Josh Allen in their building. But I also push back on the idea that because there is a shift in personnel while the franchise quarterback or the coach is there, that somehow the Bills are over. Do we not consider the dynasty with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick to be that, even though Randy Moss was there and then he wasn't? Or any other player that you can name was there and then they weren't? Like, did that change the dynamic of the organization? Shanahan has gone through, I don't even know how many coordinators. McVay has gone through how many coordinators? Generally, when you have success, you lose coordinators. When things start to go in a different direction, you fire coordinators. That's the adjustments that you make. How many coordinators did Belichick go through? So I don't look at the Bills as, oh, Leslie Frazier isn't there anymore, or they fired Ken Dorsey, so this is now a new version of the Bills. Whenever we look at dynasties or judge eras with organizations, it's either because there is one face, which is either the coach, or there is a player, which is how we look at that. We look at the time with Philip Rivers and the Chargers as Philip Rivers' time with the Chargers. We're looking at what's going on with the Niners as Shanahan's time with the Niners. We don't look at it as, oh, well, Robert Saleh left, so the Niners are over. Yeah. So I don't anticipate that the Bills don't have an opportunity to adjust things. If Stephon Diggs does actually end up leaving and they draft a talent that develops in the first year, we see rookies coming out of college all the time. Not saying they're going to be as good as Stephon Diggs, but you can make adjustments to your roster year in and year out and still compete. Again, this team won the division the past 3 years. Yeah. They're having a rough stretch. They have also a lot of injuries, which we conveniently do not mention, and I agree with not mentioning them because people have injuries, but that is also playing a role in the struggles that they're having.
That's pretty good. Nice cooking.
Thank you.
No, I agree. I was just thinking, like, when you were talking, all the different teams that players may trade or leave and coordinators, right? And I think the Niners, they keep getting a new defense coordinator. They still kind of seem to be successful. I think when you have a certain amount of players, you have a head coach. And by the way, speaking of Sean McDermott, I got to give him some respect and a lot of roses. So Friday, give him some love because I was there in Buffalo when we weren't good.
Yep.
Sean McDermott changed that whole culture.
No question.
Whole culture. No like question. Everybody in the building, from the players to the janitors to the people in the kitchen, like he changed everything. And he made everybody believe that we can win. So now when you see him running 3 in a row at this division, like that's Sean McDermott. And I think Josh Allen has a lot to do with that. So I look at a program where you guys say, or a franchise, when you say that it's over or it's at the end, it's like, how? Because one thing they can do, they draft pretty good. They, in free agency, they make some pretty good moves. Trades, they make some pretty good trades. And they develop these players. And that's one thing that every franchise, they can't do. So with this organization, they can do that, and they have a franchise quarterback. So everything they have, I guess, DNA-wise, to win championships or win their division, they have. So for you guys to say it's over after just a bad season, I can't see it.
The reason I'm saying that is because of the why. I'm not just looking on top of the surface. I'm looking underneath the surface. Y'all brought up great points. Niners defensive coordinators, Patriots defensive coordinators. To me, there's a difference between being fired and being promoted, and that being the reason you're gone. DeMeco Ryans was promoted. Robert Saleh was promoted. Eric Mangini ended up getting a head coaching job. Brian Flores, head coaching job. Matt Patricia, head coaching job. Leslie Frazier was let go.
But my thing is, like, let go or promoted, right? Yep. You still leaving.
Correct.
So but what's the difference?
The difference for me is that means if you were let go, there's probably some chaos that led to you being let go. The reason McDermott let go of Leslie Frazier from people within the building has said it goes back to that 13 seconds decision versus Kansas City Chiefs and how he played
Kansas City.
And not only had you let go, you let go of Frazier, and now the defense has gotten worse. Mm-hmm. Now you, the head coach, are the defensive coordinator. They don't have a defensive coordinator currently. So I'm already seeing tension there. Ken Dorsey was fired. Mm-hmm. So now offensively, y'all got issues there. So I'm thinking, okay, offensively, you got issues. Mm-hmm. Defensively, you got issues. At wide receiver, you got issues. Your overall record, you got issues. Yes, they have injuries, but for me, it's kind of like what Joya said the last 24 months about the Niners with injuries. Write them into having injuries. Mm-hmm. Old players get hurt. The Bills had the oldest roster in football. So it's not a coincidence they have injuries. Right. They're all old. That's why they have injuries. So I'm looking beneath the surface when I say it's the beginning of the end.
So the Niners. A couple weeks ago, you had a lot of big concerns about Wilkes as the coordinator. Mm-hmm. So my thing is, the other two guys, coordinators, Saleh and DeMeco Ryans, they got promoted and they left. So then another coordinator came in there. Mm-hmm. There was no problem. There's no issues, you said. There's no issues, right? They just got promoted. But then there was issues in defense. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to figure out, like, what's the difference?
I don't like change in general. Like, change. I really don't like it in general. I really don't like it in general. However, if somebody's getting fired, mm-hmm. That tells me there's a reason they got fired. So you already got an issue.
But I'm saying that there was no issues, right? And he moved on. And then the coordinator that y'all had issues, y'all had concerns about that a clean, happy home.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
That's my thing. So does it really matter if it's a clean, happy home and they get promoted, or is it because
but for me though,
getting fired?
For me, it's the team is going to look different. You know what I mean? So whatever coordinator comes in there, you might not have 14. Yeah. And now you're going to have to be trying to get a rookie ready. You already don't believe it.
They're going to get – I don't think they're going to trade Stephon Diggs, right? But I just feel like if they do, they're going to get something for him.
Yeah, right? You're going to get some picks for him. But what I'm saying is you don't know if them draft picks is going to come up there and how long they're going to take to get going. Sure. You know what I'm saying? Then on the defensive side of the ball, we talk about how old the safeties are. Milano's not there. We don't know how he's going to look. We talk about Vaughn. I'm just saying the overall team and the players on the team are going to look different. So now it's going to take some time, I think, for this Bills roster and team to get back up to that, to be able to compete with Mahomes, to compete with Joe Burrow, to compete with Lamar Jackson, to compete with those teams. So that's why I'm saying I feel like it's closed, because I think once this team in the offseason, and who knows what's going to happen, they might make a run to make the playoffs, but I still think change is coming in the offseason to where this team is going to be far off from competing with those top AFC teams.
I don't know, man. I truly think that the Bills will be a good team next year. I think next year they regroup, they get everything together. They'll be a good team.
Based on what? Tell me why.
Because the DNA and the culture over there. Sean McDermott is a hell of a coach. We talk about Matt Milano being an all-pro, good linebacker, but even before he was an all-pro, he was really, 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 really good.
But when you say good team,
nobody really knew about him, right? I'll give you another one. Tremaine Edmonds, right? A middle linebacker. They drafted from Virginia Tech, and we didn't really know.
Yeah.
But, yo, they really groomed him and worked him, and he was a really, really good player in Buffalo. Ed Oliver, when they first got there, he was a little dude. Like, I don't call Ed
first round pick.
But I watched him develop him after we just let go Kyle Williams. Mm-hmm. So I'm just giving out all these different scenarios where I've seen Sean McDermott build players that was just young players. What's the kid in the slot?
Terrence Johnson.
He's nice now, but when he was a rookie, I watched them boys over there training him, getting him right. And then I watched him, this kid's going to be really, really good. So I've seen Sean McDermott with decent talent, lower draft picks, develop these players. That's why when I always talk about on a good side of Andy Reid, and I talk bad stuff about Bill Belichick, because on Belichick, I don't see no growth. Yeah. I don't see new development players. With Sean McDermott, I've seen them.
The foundation, I've seen them. The foundation of the Bills is there. There's organizations that have a flash in the pan run to the postseason, and they were way better than we thought they were going to be, and maybe they win a playoff game or two, and we get excited. The Bills have a culture. Yeah. So it's harder for me to believe that they won't be able to make tweaks, make adjustments, and get back on course when you're comparing to some of the other teams around the league that we're excited about that don't have the same equity level that the Bills do to me. They won the division the last 3 years. Like, where does all that count into and factor into where you think they can go?
And the last thing, we talk about the coordinators. Like, let's give some more respect to Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott. Like, Brian Daboll, right? Mm-hmm. For he used to be the Titans coach for the Patriots and all that. But who knew he'd be an offensive coordinator like this? And they knew that. They went to go get him. Ken Dorsey was still on the roster when Brian Daboll was there. Mm-hmm. So, you know how they like to keep everything in house. Yeah. But they can get some good coaches in there. They got a lot of good coaches, a lot of coordinators.
So when you say win, do you think it's Super Bowl? Because that's what I compare it off of.
You can't do that. Because if right now there's only two teams you can say could go to a Super Bowl and win it.
But what I'm saying is there's teams with Super Bowl rosters. That's why you pick them beginning of the season. Joy has Buffalo and blah, blah, blah in the Super Bowl. Right. I got Jets and blah, blah, blah in the Super Bowl. Like, I don't know if we're going to be saying with what happens this offseason, with the things that could happen, with the old players, Vaughn, all those guys leaving. I don't know if we can sit there and say that this is a Super Bowl caliber team.
I'll say this, because I don't ever play that game with the Super Bowl. Like, it's a real thing. It's hard as hell to get to.
I know it is.
So I don't play that game. But I'll say this. To contend for a championship, right, as in chance to win your division, do some damage to playoffs, them type of teams, I think that next year they'll be up there with them. Right? You don't just every year you favorite to win it, the AFC. And then favorite. You see what I'm saying? So, yeah, I can see them being part of them four or five teams. It's only like four or five teams in general. So I would put them in there.
Yes, this is the conversation. I wouldn't. You wouldn't. Shady would. James wouldn't. This is what's so interesting.
But you won't be surprised if Josh Allen come back next year.
I would. I would be surprised.
Get crazy like
I would be surprised if this Buffalo Bills team has another 13-14 win season in the next 3-4 years. I think that is it for Buffalo. Well, what is going on with the Cincinnati Bengals? We got 2.5 hours till the Bengals kick off versus the Baltimore Ravens. Is it a must win for the 5-4 Bengals? That is next on Speak. We just getting started. Don't forget.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
All right, family, let's get to second and short. This is our second topic of the day, and we got a really good one. Ravens, Bengals, a huge game tonight. It's about time we got a great Thursday night football game. Two really good quarterbacks, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson. But they're both coming off of unfortunate losses, one to the Browns, another to the Houston Texans. Joy, the Bengals are currently 5-4. They are fighting for their playoff lives. Would you say that tonight is a must-win for the Cincinnati Bengals?
Yep, all the rest of the season, particularly the AFC games, are a must-win for the Bengals. That's the situation that they put themselves in. They have one AFC win. They're last in the division.
Last.
Behind Kenny Pickett and the Steelers.
Say that again?
Okay. Mike Tomlin, Steelers. And the Browns, who now don't have Deshaun Watson. Mm-hmm. That's who they're behind. I mean, they are and not just behind them in their own division. They also have the Colts, the Texans, and the Raiders ahead of them. Mm-hmm. So they have a lot of ground to make up. And if they lose this one, they're gonna lose control of their destiny moving forward. They've really just – the start of the season was really devastating for them to be in this situation right now. Because they started slow last year as well, but it wasn't against divisional opponents and it wasn't in the conference. So, yes, this is a must-win game for the Bengals.
Yeah, to put it in graphic form, if you will, the Bengals right now are really struggling because they haven't beaten AFC opponents. I believe they are 1-4 versus the AFC. Their wins have come versus the NFC teams. They've come versus the Seahawks, versus the Niners, versus the Arizona Cardinals. So when you really look at what it comes down to in the playoffs when there is a tie, and I will show you so you all can see it at home. When there's a tie, it comes down to number one, what's your conference win percentage when there's a three-team tie?
Remember, I just told y'all, the Bengals are 1-4 versus the AFC, so their conference win percentage is not currently good. Then it goes down to head-to-head. If you look at the current playoff standings, which I will now show you, the Bengals are at the top of the in-the-hunt seed, which means they're the 8th seed. Why aren't they the 7th seed, where you see the Houston Texans? Well, they're not the 7th seed because they lost the head-to-head matchup versus the Houston Texans just last week. If the Bengals lose today, they will be 5-5, and they will be 10th. So by this time, tomorrow's show, they won't be the 8th best team, the 9th best team. They'll be sitting there at the 10th best team, not because their record is any different than the Bills' record or the Colts' record, because their conference record is bad. But, James Jones, if they win, they still get two matchups versus Kenny Pickett, a matchup versus Dorian Thompson-Robinson. So if you win this game, you're a half game back versus the Baltimore Ravens, and you get to see Kenny Pickett twice and DTR or Paul... the other backup, P.J. Walker. You got to win this one.
Yeah, this is a got to have this one right here. This is a must win. If they don't win this right here, hey, start booking your tickets for Cabo. You know, I think that's where they're going to be going. But this is a must win. Joe Burrow has to come out here. This is a playoff game for them.
Yeah.
Right? You guys are really good on the road in the playoffs, win a lot of games, play consistent. That's what you guys have to treat this one like. This one has to be treated like a playoff game. I would not be surprised if it's maybe a fake punt. Go for it on a couple of these fourth downs, because you have to really press the issue to really win this game. Because if you don't, you go from in the hunt all the way down to the 10th seed. And I know that the Browns do not have Deshaun Watson, but their schedule is really, really favorable. They play some bad, bad quarterbacks too, and that's a big-time defense. So if they don't get this one done, we could possibly be without Josh Allen and JoJo Burrow in the playoffs this year, and that's going to be bad.
Yeah, and I got to be a must-win. I was thinking about it, like, they're 0-2 in the division right now. And to, like, you talked about some of the opponents that they will play, they could win them games with Kenny Pickett and the Steelers. And then who was the other one you just said?
You got Dorian Thompson-Robinson and the Browns.
Like, so you got some chances to win. So if you win this game, that puts you in a favorable position to win some more games to get to this playoffs. Because right now, if you're at the bottom of the division and you're 0-2 right now in the division, what are we talking about here? And then the thing is, we're talking about just the football part of it, but what about, like, legacy? What about respect? We love to brag about Joe Burrow because he's a great player, but some of the points that we brag about him is, hey, he took his team to the Super Bowl, took his team to the AFC Championship. All these things. Patrick Mahomes and Arrowhead. We got to see this, Joe, because if you don't go to the playoffs, it starts that conversation.
Shady, you're exactly right. I was going to save this take for later, but I'll actually cook on what you said. For me, it's not just a must-win for the Bengals. It's a must-win for Joe Burrow. I currently brag that Joe Burrow is the second-best quarterback behind Patrick Mahomes, and I have plenty of ammo to say that. Anytime Joe Burrow is healthy, he goes to an AFC Championship game. I would take Joe Burrow over Jalen Hurts. I would take Joe Burrow over Lamar Jackson. But if you don't win this game, and thus, Joe Burrow, you don't make the playoffs, how can I then say you are second behind Patrick Mahomes?
Ooh.
I can't.
No.
Because you would have played four seasons, missed the playoffs twice, made the playoffs twice. I can't even put you in these elite dialogues.
Yeah.
I can't put you in these elite conversations. Not if you miss the playoffs 50% of the time. Who am I to fix my lips to say you elite?
Yeah.
People already think I'm dumb. Now you gotta say that. They really don't think I'm crazy. So it's a must win for Joe Burrow as well, because if you miss the playoffs.
Yeah.
So how do we feel about the start of the season for the Bengals then? Because we all know he was injured.
How much
does that factor into it?
He's out there, though. Man. I mean, we injured. They always say, if you're too injured,
don't play.
I'm like, why not?
So we would.
Because the film is never going live.
I mean, he was injured his first year, too. So
that's the problem.
Yeah.
That's the problem. We said this about, I think, Deshaun yesterday. We started to say, well, Deshaun's starting to look injury prone. I'm ignoring that for Joe Burrow because he went to the Super Bowl and he made the playoffs the next two years.
He gets busy.
But if Joe Burrow misses the playoffs,
we're going to have to reevaluate if Joe Burrow is elite.
Have to.
Ooh. I'm going to say because this is the reason why, though, right?
Talk to me.
Because we always like to say Patrick Mahomes is another universe, right? Yeah. But then the next one is Joe Burrow.
Yep.
I can't even imagine Patrick Mahomes not making the playoffs.
Even if they're bad, like 50% of the time.
So we won't have Josh Allen in there if he doesn't make the playoffs.
Well, y'all already don't have Josh Allen there.
I don't. Yeah. But remember, though, at least Josh Allen has made the playoffs the last 3 years. So even if he misses this year, he's missed it one of the last four years.
What did Joe Burrow
got hurt his rookie year, made the playoffs, would miss the playoffs again. So now you're talking 50% of his career, he's missed it.
We're counting the time that he was hurt?
You have to.
So then Lamar has missed.
But at least his team got there. You use this as ammo all the time, and I agree with it, when you say, even though Lamar got hurt, he was so good when he was out there that his team still made the playoffs. Right. So, and you use that as ammo, and I'm like, you're right.
Listen, I'm okay with us slimming down the version of what, you know, how often we use words, like we should slow down on calling everybody the GOAT, we should slow down on calling everybody elite. Like, if we want to make those margins smaller, that's fine with me. I don't know if I can jump to Joe Burrow isn't a great quarterback. I would still consider him to be elite, even if they don't make the playoffs this year. Remember, at the beginning of the season, the AFC was always going to be tight.
Sure.
It was always going
to
be tight.
No doubt, but the cream rises to the top.
Wait, let me ask you a question. In your opinion, what makes Joe Burrow so elite and so great? In your opinion?
I got the answer for that one.
I mean, my eyeballs. For one.
Okay, that's one.
Because I thought he was great before he got to the NFL.
I'm talking about the NFL great.
And he's winning. Yeah. He's won games. So he's made people around him better.
So what I'm going to say to you is, when I look at Joe Burrow, I think he's super intelligent. Mm-hmm. Got super confidence, right?
Yes.
And the other thing is, he's accurate, but his biggest thing is he wins.
He wins.
Right. So
he
now,
wins.
If you kind of pull that thing away a little bit, all right, so we speaking of him, like, his thing is he wins. He took a bad franchise to the Super Bowl. We hit a winner. Yeah. One thing about Joe going to win.
He's going to win.
If they have a bad slump losing, he's going to find a way to win. That's why I love
but
Joe
wasn't,
Burrow.
Wasn't there always going to be a good team that was going to miss the playoffs?
Sure, but not Joe's team.
Not the second best career in the league should do that. Give me an example, though. So where there was a time where, and you're in your prime, right? Your prime, where we talk about the Bradys, we talk about the Big Bens, we talk about Phillip Rivers, we talk about Rodgers. Yep. Like, and they primes, they make
the playoffs.
Even how bad they are, they going to make the playoffs.
But not only that, the reason why I truly believe we put Joe Burrow in this elite category right under Patty is because when the big time lights is on, big time Joe shows up.
With a big cigar.
Man, so you going on the road beating Josh Allen. You going on the road beating Patty Mahomes. Like, every time it was a big time game, Joe Burrow played out of his mind.
True,
that is why I believe we put him in this elite conversation because he wins those big ones. Every last one of these ones from the season on out is big time games for Cincinnati Bengals. So this one right here for Joe Burrow, that's why I said this is playoff football for Joe Burrow. You have to go out there and play lights out and be that Joe Burrow that we put you in that elite category because you win games like this. You can't go out here and lose to Lamar Jackson and your team don't make the playoffs. I'm not taking him out of that elite conversation if he don't make the playoffs, but every time I talk about him, I'm going to have to think about it.
Well, look, I mean, your resume is your resume. It would absolutely be a failure by every measurable if they miss the playoffs. This is incredibly disappointing, and it's a failure based off of the roster that they have, the expectations, and who he is.
Yeah.
I agree with all that. I don't think I personally am going to write off his entire future and say that he's not capable of getting to that space.
Nobody doing that. Ain't nobody doing that.
The conversation's going
to
change.
So he's just getting knocked down to elite.
He's getting knocked out of it.
So then, like, next year they come back, they win the Super Bowl, he gets bumped
back. No doubt about it.
That's how they do every quarterback. This is an ebb and flow conversation.
Yes. Unless you have so much equity, like Patrick
Mahomes.
You have so much equity,
I'm not going to knock you out. I just want to see how we're judging
But, like, it's hard. Like, again, Shady, you made a great point in that dialogue you and Joy had is, when I talk about Joe Burrow, he has it. I don't ever talk about his speed. Yeah. I don't talk about his height. I don't talk about his arm strength. I just say he has it. Mm-hmm. Acho, what's it? He has an innate ability to win.
Yes, he does.
If he is no longer winning, Acho, what's Joe Burrow?
And getting to a Super Bowl and then going back to an AFC Championship game, it doesn't matter enough.
Those are good accomplishments, but, like, do we stop there?
Who's elite then?
What I'm saying is all the good, though. So with the bad, we don't say nothing about it?
No, I don't think we should. I'm just saying, who is elite then?
Mahomes. If Jalen Hurts goes back to the Super Bowl, AFC Championship game, then next year we'll have the I know Shady already is. I think you already are. Next year I will have the conversations of Hurts like I'm having about Burrow.
No doubt.
Because now in 3 years as a starter, Hurts would have gone to the playoffs, gone to a Super Bowl, gone to another Super Bowl or championship game. Burrow, 3 years as a starter, hurt. Yeah. Super Bowl championship game. Yeah. So then I would have those combos. But if Hurts missed the playoffs this year, if the Eagles missed the playoffs this year,
I'd be like, Hurts wins.
That would be crazy.
That'd be crazy.
But I just think that, like, so all these quarterbacks we talking about are really, really good quarterbacks.
Yeah,
let's get that straight. They're good quarterbacks. Yeah. But I'm saying, like, when we start talking about the levels and why and this and that, why do we, like, even Mahomes, why do we say Mahomes is so great?
Yeah
he's talented because he's won the Super Bowls. Mm-hmm. He's always going to be in the AFC Championship game. Like, he's MVP. Like, those things
put
him in
there. What it sounds like to me is it really is just Mahomes.
But it was good. It's about to be Joe. Because the argument I can say is this.
Everybody says that.
The argument I can say is Patrick Mahomes been to 5 straight AFC Championship games.
Ooh, that's
but then I can say, every year Burrow healthy. The last 2 years, he's been to the AFC Championship game too. Mm-hmm. So I could at least, right. I could fight back. Right. But Mahomes 5 straight years, cool. But Joe Burrow took a team from 2-14 to the Super Bowl.
It doesn't sound like he has enough equity to be in that space. Because if they can miss the playoffs and he gets bumped down that significantly, then the resume for the last 2 years doesn't count for that.
Do you think he shouldn't get... No, bumped down off or not making the playoffs?
He should, because he has to then go into that Josh Allen category. Like, Josh turns the football over, but like you said yesterday, he turned the football over a lot. He was winning. And he was winning. In that elite conversation with Patty. Before Burrow, it was Patty Josh. Josh was winning, even though he was turning the football over. Now that since Joe Burrow kicked Josh Allen out of the playoffs and he hasn't been winning we kind of bumping him down. So that's the same thing for Joe Burrow. If you can't get to the playoffs, even though you was hurting the beginning of the season,
maybe this might be a real argument we need to say.
Talk to me.
Joy Taylor.
Uh-oh.
Maybe this is a bigger gap from Patrick Mahomes to all the other quarterbacks.
Oh, that's what I agree with.
No, I never thought that it was a – I always knew that Pat was different, especially in a different level. But I did think that Joe Burrow was, like, right outside that door.
100%.
Like, Pat, let me in. I'll be here next year. You know what I mean? Yeah. He's in that group.
And Josh. You talked about the team.
And Josh.
He got the most
now Josh didn't have kicked him off the elevator.
Get out the club.
So now he had to walk up the steps. All right? And then Joe Burrow, is he pushing that button?
And Jalen knocking on the door because he wins.
But if Joe wins and makes the playoff run, he's still not.
Because
last year, he won 10 out of 11 games or 9 out of 10, made it to the playoffs, went back to the AFC Championship game. He right outside Mahomes' door like, hey, big dog, I'm knocking.
I feel what Joy's saying, though, because how far are we going to bump him down if he don't make the playoffs?
Say that again?
Like, how far? Like, where are we moving, Joe? Like,
you got to move somewhere. I don't know where. You got to go somewhere, though.
Then you got to go home. You got to get the heck up out. And really, all I'm doing is I'm moving him from the elite conversation. Yeah. Because the reason we call people elite is because they do things that are elite. So if you're not doing things that are elite, how can I call you elite?
How can you?
Like, okay, but can we wait to make this decision until the end
of
the season?
Oh, yeah.
That's what we're saying.
Joe Burrow's.
If the second best quarterback in football
don't make the playoffs,
it's at home during playoffs. It's like,
he's not the second best quarterback in football.
What are we watching?
That's what it is.
If he watched in his division, can he pick it go?
Oh,
TJ, no.
TJ Walker go.
Because Shady, Peyton Manning wasn't missing the playoffs. Tom Brady was alive and well. But after Peyton Manning, after that rookie season, Peyton Manning was like, hey, big dog, I'm going to be here too. Right. You're going to have to see me.
Win or lose, I'm going to be here. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, you just got to be there.
Yeah.
Woo, this is getting good. Okay, Chiefs,
Big
Eagles.
Big Ben.
Big Ben was going to be there.
He's going to be there.
No doubt about it. Chiefs, Eagles, Super Bowl rematch on Monday night. It's really the Shady McCoy Bowl. So we got to talk about who has the edge. Two of the best teams in football. Shady versus Eagles versus Chiefs.
Hey.
Come back for that conversation.
Yeah, that boy was good, though. Real rap, though, dog. I came in.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now, save $30 on the American-made steel FS56 RCE trimmer. Real steel. The FS56 RCE is made in America of U.S. and global materials. Offer valid through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
How long is that, bro?
Always feel good.
All right, family, we are in third and long. It's the Shady Bowl, big dog. Now, y'all know what it is. Shady's the all-time leading rusher for the Philadelphia Eagles, but he's a Super Bowl champ for the Kansas City Chiefs. We got a Super Bowl rematch, Chiefs-Eagles. It is the game of the weekend. Shady, we got to talk about who got the edge, big dog.
Did you see my son in that Gucci, though? My bad.
Are you done or are you finished?
I'm finished.
Okay, let's get to it. Starting off with the head coach, Nick Sirianni, Andy Reid. Two incredible coaches. They were both in the Super Bowl last year. You know Andy Reid well. He drafted you. He's done a lot for you. But you know Nick Sirianni well.
I love Nick. I love Nick too.
You got to love Nick. Nick is a young superstar head coach. I am giving the edge to
Andy Reid, Kansas City Chiefs.
Okay. And I'm going with Andy Reid as well.
Where you at?
Because the thing about Andy Reid is I'm going with Andy.
Okay.
If you watch the Super Bowl last year against the Eagles, it was two touchdowns, uncontested. And that comes from film study, that comes from play call. Fair. Andy Reid called that play, touchdown. I'm going with Andy Reid. He's more experienced. He's been there. And I love the guy. Look at it. Come on, let me rub it.
Hey, look, I have to rub his stomach. Come on, big guy.
Okay, after Andy Reid, let's talk about the quarterbacks. Last year, Jalen Hurts was about to win the MVP until he got hurt.
Yeah, he did ball.
He did ball.
He was balling.
But then Patrick Mahomes stepped up and took over the MVP.
That's true.
But some people say Jalen Hurts outplayed Mahomes in a Super Bowl. Which quarterback got the edge?
I mean, you cannot go against the king on the throne. You cannot. You see Game of Thrones? Don't play them games. You already know. Patrick Mahomes is on the throne. He's the guy. I love Jalen Hurts. And eventually, I think one day, Jalen Hurts will take that throne. But till now, unless he gets some dragons, he can't do it. He cannot do it.
It's easy for me. Patrick Mahomes. Obviously, Jalen Hurts has done a lot of great things in the National Football League. But Patrick Mahomes is one of the greatest to ever do it. Now let's talk in totality on offense. They are commanding their offense. But who are you giving the edge to the whole offensive picture?
I'm going with the Eagles. I mean, if you look at it, we have the better offensive line. We got the better wide receiver tandem, right? Running backs. I mean, I'm going with us. Well, the Eagles running backs. So if we get the offense all together, I think every aspect they win other than the quarterbacks.
I'm with you. We are on the same page thus far. Offense for me is also the Philadelphia Eagles. But here is where it gets interesting. Because defensively, most notably, the last 3 to 5 years, Chiefs defense has not been great. Last year, Eagles defense third in the history of football, getting after the quarterback 70 sacks. Where are you with the edge on defense?
I got to go with the Eagles again. Yeah, I know, man. I know. And the Chiefs, I will say this. All the years from watching Andy Reid, from with the Eagles and also with the Chiefs, it's always been the offense. And this year, the defense is playing really, really well for the Chiefs. But I got to say, man, one thing about them Eagles, you don't know who it's going to be. I can tell you who it's going to be for the Chiefs on defense. You might get Snead at quarterback.
No doubt.
Might make some plays. You might get Chris Jones. Make some
no
plays.
Doubt.
But overall, with the Eagles, it can be anybody. We didn't see against the Cowboys?
Yeah.
We seen Brandon Graham. He's my age.
He is.
And we can get a sack or two. So I just got more peace over on defense to make plays, man. And then another thing, Kevin Bonner, he's getting more comfortable in that scheme. He's going to make some plays.
Shady,
he's a baller.
I completely disagree with you on this one.
That's okay.
Not because the Eagles don't have more pieces, but Steve Spagnuolo on defensive coordinator.
He's a beast.
He's a beast.
Yeah, he's a
Chiefs
beast.
Got the second best defense right now as it pertains to points, and the fourth as it pertains to yards allowed, if I am not mistaken. Eagles are middle of the pack. They're still figuring things out. They have pieces, but those pieces be getting hurt. Their safeties have been getting hurt.
Yeah.
Nickelback's trying to figure it out. You had to go get Byard 3 weeks ago because you didn't have a safety that could play as a veteran. So defense for me, I'm going Chiefs. But now let's talk about the X factor.
Let's
this isn't to say who's going
to
win,
let's
but this
to
is
it.
To say who do you think is going to be that special player that the viewer at home needs to pay a little extra attention to.
You know what? They're going to put Snead on AJ Brown, who's a dog, a big dog. So I'm thinking about who they going. I mean, one against one, you got to do that. Who's the next guy they're going to put on Devontae Smith? Who's it going to be, Otto? And I tell you what, on a lot of teams, he would be the number 1A.
True.
It just has to be that two, not one.
True.
Now, one's 1A, one's B, but hey, it is what it is. He's going to be the X factor. He's so good.
Smitty
can't be touched.
I feel it.
He's 165, but he go up and catch you like he 265. He run routes like he's, you know.
Okay, I got the same train of thought as you. I'm thinking to myself, who's going to be the Chiefs' third receiving option? You already know what Travis Kelce going to do. But for me, it's who's going to be the other receiving option. I'm going with Rashee Rice. I'm going with the Rook. Here's why, Shady.
Hey, tell me why.
Three touchdowns he has.
We need it, though.
He got three touchdowns in the last five games.
Yeah.
And he has three straight games of 50-plus yards. Three of the last four games, 50-plus yards. I think he is starting to come into his own. He is going to be the receiver that has the weak link on the Eagles' defense. You got Slay, you got Bradberry. Outside of those two, you're going to have to attack the Eagles' third corner.
He's young, man. He's real young.
Very young.
He's inconsistent. There's some times where he's balling out, right, with the screens, looks explosive, looks fast. There's other times he has drops. He is, and he's still young. And the thing about the Chiefs is they're trying to find that rotation. Who's going to be number two receiver?
Yeah.
Okay, let's find that out. Who's going to be number three receiver? They don't know. And that's why I think that offense is so up and down, because they don't have nobody else other than Travis Kelce.
Fair. I like
it. Now, I will say this, though.
I like it.
If Taylor Swift is in the building, I'm going all Chiefs. Because I know when she's there, they going to win. And they going to do it on the high
I have heard that the Swift parents are meeting the Kelce parents.
Oh,
it's over. Uh-oh.
It's one and one.
Put $100,000 on the Chiefs.
You just told me you weren't betting anymore. You literally just told me that off camera.
Taylor Swift, though. I bet on her.
My dog.
She's a winner.
You're a smart man. When we return, can I tease?
I'll go ahead and leave.
Thank you. When we return, we got to talk about Colorado Buffaloes because they have not been winners lately. But if they win tomorrow, they hope for a bowl game are still alive, family.
It's like a rap video.
Is it a must-win game for Colorado? That's next.
Draymond Green, yo. Draymond Green, don't even know. Don't trust me. Do not trust too far. I don't know how to act.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $20 on the steel MS-162 or MS-170 chainsaw. Real steel. Offer valid through June 30th, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
All right, family, let's talk college football. It's the most interesting topic in sports for my money. Deion Sanders, boy, he got off to a hot start. But now they've lost five of their last six. But all hope is not yet gone. They're on the road tomorrow night against Washington State right here on FS1. Well, Prime and his squad, they've lost four straight. For context, if you lose more than seven games in college football, thus you'd only have five wins, you don't make a bowl game. James Jones, I would suggest that if Colorado doesn't make a bowl game, this would be a failure on the football field for Prime. Off the football field, Deion Sanders has won at a higher clip than anybody in sports in the last 20 years. But on the field, this would be a failure. And I can't be a liar up here. I said before the season on September 1st, I said my own words, hey, he's got to make a bowl game. Mm. We had a mutual conversation at this desk. The opinion on Deion Sanders, it varied from making a bowl game to going to the college football playoffs. But to some degree, we all agreed he had to make a bowl game. Mm. If you don't make a bowl game, then on the field, what you did was just not that impressive. Mm-hmm. I will speak of two coaches I know personally. Jim Mora, current coach at UConn. UConn didn't even play a football season in 2020 during COVID.
Ugh.
2021, they won one game. 2022, Jim Mora took over as the head coach of UConn, and they made a bowl game 1-6. My close friend, former teammate, me and LeSean McCoy, G.J. Kinney, current head coach at Texas State. He was a practice squad guy. You probably don't remember.
No, come on, I know him. I know him, man.
Current head coach at Texas State. Took over Texas State. They're currently 6-4. Mm-hmm. About to make himself a bowl game. On the field is where I would say it would be a failure if they don't make a bowl game. They got to win tomorrow to keep that hope alive.
Yeah, you remember what number my dog was on the practice
squad?
I won't remember that. That's my dog. That's crazy. Oh, no, man, I agree. I stood on this show and I said that if Prime gets to 6-7 wins, that's a successful season. Obviously, he needs these last two games to get to that. And I do not think it's going to happen. So I truly believe that this season for Prime on the football field and for Prime standards will be a failure. And not only will it be a failure, you lost four in a row. You don't beat Wazoo, Washington State, that's five in a row. You're probably not going to beat Utah, so you're going into the offseason on a six-game losing streak. However you slice it up, dice it up, whatever, no, how many good plays you made in the season, beating TCU to start the season, none of that truly matters if you end this season on a six-game losing streak. To me, on the football field, that is a failure. I don't care what program we're talking about. If we're talking about a program and they lose six straight football games, we're not going to say that's a success. We don't care if it's year one, year two, year 10. So for me, for them to lose six straight, that is a failure and not make a bowl game. And the disappointing thing about it is they had the opportunities to get to six, and they didn't. And that's why I feel like it's a failure on the football field.
Yeah, I think it would be disappointing. I don't know if I can jump to failure. I think we got a little off the rails with our expectations based off of how the season started. Mm-hmm. And let's be serious. If Prime wasn't at Colorado and Colorado had just won those three games, we would not be talking about Colorado. It's just that's just the facts. And I think that we can also give Prime some room to grow, not just the program. Is that, I hate the word fair, but is that reasonable to do? Does Prime have the space to grow into being a better coach into developing the program more, or do we have to see the result that we all wanted based off of the expectations that we then laid there? And they encouraged, obviously, they participated in the expectations as well. It's not like they were shying away from anything that was happening there. But I don't want to repurpose the conversation, but that's how I feel about it. I feel like it's, I can't jump to failure. I think it's disappointing. They did have opportunities. I think it's a missed opportunity, generally speaking. But I also think that Prime can grow as well as the program can. How long was Jim Mora coaching in college football before he got to UConn?
I don't know. He'd been out for about 10 years. It was his first year there. He'd been on ESPN.
He had coached
before. Yeah, right. And in the NFL. Yeah.
Yes. So he had a lot of coaching experience. I don't know how much your friend's coaching experience was.
No, TJ, first year head coach. Okay.
No, also yeah. TJ's
boy,
doing great.
That's my boy. That's
TJ's
my
doing boy. Great. I think we can give Prime room to grow into the role as well, is how I feel about it.
I agree with you, but then again, I think I'm with you with the growing as the franchise or the college program. Next. But as a coach, we don't want to hear you getting better. We want to hear you good now. Because, no, seriously, though, think about when a coach comes there, it's like, all right, you need to be the answer.
Right now.
Yeah, right now. So my thing with Prime is, the question, first of all, was they need to win, right?
Yeah,
is that the question?
That's the first one, but okay. We know that.
All right. So I'm going to say it's not a failure, though.
Oh, well.
Because I get it. It is Coach Prime and it is Deion Sanders. I get it. A lot comes with it. But this team, right, last year won how many games?
One.
Come on, yo. One game? Mm-hmm. So if this team, and they're always usually a bad team, he comes there and it's supposed to be like a different team because he got there? No. I think that what he did do, though, is he brought some light to the team, to the program, right? He's going to get better players. But the players that he did have there, they did win. He did win four games and they won one. I'm just saying the truth is, like, your face is getting all crazy.
I'll tell you why.
Ball
I'll tell you why.
But let's think about this for a second, though. Like, right now, right, we keep praising how D'Amico Ryans, mm-hmm. good friend of ours, yep. and mm-hmm. we praise how good they're doing.
Yeah,
they're
5-4.
They're 5-4. I mean, I'm just saying. It's the NFL, though, too, though. Not sure. College, NFL.
Sure.
Right, way more games. But they ain't nothing to be bragging about. Yo, we 5-4.
We're in the playoff picture.
Currently, they've only won 3 more games than they did last year.
But what I'm saying is that, so when you go from winning one game to now you winning 5, that's why we even – so when you talk – hold up, real quick.
Yeah.
When we talked about, okay, the quarterback being a – MVP candidate.
Yep.
Y'all said that. That's one.
Yep.
And the second thing is you said that D'Amico Ryans should be considered coach of the year.
Yeah.
So my thing is, okay, you look at the record, they're 5-4. So you beating your chest about that, the reason why you beating your chest was because
here,
the year before that, they won how many games?
Two.
Two or three, whatever it was. That's why we're making them a good
here's
team.
Here's the line of demarcation for me is a one. D'Amico's currently in the playoff picture.
Yeah.
But I don't want to make this a D'Amico conversation. Oh, for me, what it is, Shady, is usually if you don't make a bowl game, at least your coaches will say, hey, y'all, we're building. We're building something special here. But the problem is Prime can't say that. Because 2 weeks ago, he already said, I'm replacing the offensive line. He's already made it very much known a lot of these guys aren't going to be here next year. So if you were on this team and you weren't good, you can't be like, yeah, well, I'm going to be back and we're going to build something special together. Because I'm probably not going to be back. That's my one thing. My second thing is I would say even Prime would have to say it's a failure. Because what do all coaches say? And we've all played sports. The first goal is probably win your home games. Then maybe win the conference. Then make a bowl game, then make the college football playoffs, win the national championship. If Prime only wins 4 games this season, I don't know a world where that would be considered a success by his metric.
We had no expectations at all going into the season for Prime.
I did. We all did. We said it before the season.
Before the season.
Yeah.
We had no idea what was going to happen. We hoped, but we before TCU.
We all made predictions.
They were 21-point underdogs, right? We did not know what was going to happen.
No, but we all made predictions.
And those predictions were based, if we're honest, mostly on hope and faith.
Yeah,
in
I said
system.
a lot of hope and a lot of prayer.
Because we had actually no idea what they were going to look like. And they shocked the world with that TCU win. And then we were all then believing. I guess my pushback is I think we are extremely, I don't think we are, we are all extremely impatient. And while the world has changed and we want everything now and Google and the thing and if it doesn't buffer, we turn it off and like everything has to happen immediately. Sometimes, particularly in sports, it is a good reminder that things do take time. I would argue that changing out your offensive line or refurbishing that or bringing in kids from the transfer portal or recruiting them is building. It is building. He's been there for 1 year. And yes, the expectations were high based off of how they played, and that was reasonable. And then we got ahead of ourselves, and they got ahead of ourselves.
But here's my question real quick, if I may.
I got a great question.
The thought is, what was the point on the field? Like, you expect something from a new coach instantly. That's college football. It's sports.
No doubt.
Like, Deion's getting paid $5 million also to get wins, to build up the program. Great. You know this better than anybody. When Brian Kelly took over for Coach O, LSU needed to make noise immediately. And what did they do immediately? Beat Alabama. Shout out to nephew. Won 10 games. Instantly was in the college football playoff conversation.
Yeah, but that's Louisiana State University.
The same Louisiana State that was 6-7 the year before.
6-7, not one win.
But from 6-10, from barely making the
college. So, all right, let's just take it all the way back. First of all, you talking about a coach that went from Notre Dame to LSU.
Yes,
LSU's been a winning program for years, right? We are talking about Colorado, right? They don't win no games. They won that one game last year. They stormed the field. I'm so happy. My thing is this. Expectation level, that's one thing in sports that you always going to get. But you can't tell me that Coach Prime, what he's done there, is good. You can't tell me.
Isn't good?
Yeah, you can't tell me it's not good. I'm sorry.
On the field. On the field, it's not.
You can't say that when a program like that is won one game last year. For example.
Go ahead. I'll chill.
Yeah. LSU, they should win games. Yeah. They should win games.
But they weren't.
They should win games.
Agreed.
They won championships and et cetera. Where Colorado, they not getting that. Nobody think they're going to win no games.
Yeah.
Playoffs and all that? No, there's no way. Nobody can win at their conference. No way. Yeah. But now that Coach Prime is there, we think that, they should go to a bowl game. They should be a good team because of who it is. Winning four games, to me, it can't be a failure. When they won one game last year and they're never supposed to win ever.
On the field, it is a failure to me. Because you had opportunities to win football games and you didn't. And you played bad football. And that's everybody on the coaching staff. Offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, the players on the field, they played bad football. They coached bad football. None of us would sit here and say, I don't care what team we're talking about, that you lose six games in a row and we saying that ain't a failure. And you started this thing off 3-0. And I understand you turn this thing around. We going to believe next year that he going to turn it around again and win some more games. But this season, on the football field, this team was a failure. They're going to finish this season.
If they finish losing
6 in a row and you gave up a 26-point lead at halftime to a Stanford team that got how many wins?
I hear that.
That's bad football.
Where did they come from?
They came from one.
It's a lot of people that came from that and winning, though, Shady.
Like who? I literally just said Jim Mora.
Like who?
At UConn. UConn was thinking about canceling their football program. Shady, they didn't even play in 2020 because they said it's not worth it.
Yo, only thing I know about UConn is I always bet against them.
That's my point. Okay, and so they still won six.
I don't know.
That is my point.
All I'm saying is, Deion boys last year won one game and now they won four. A chance to win five this game. I'm going with that. That's just my opinion, bro.
Let me ask you this.
I know teams has been bad. And they used to be in bad.
So if you finish with four losing six, you're saying that's success?
That's success to me. You're coming from one win.
Shady, let me ask you this.
You're coming from, I don't get that. If you win one game one year, right?
So Shady.
And your program never really been good ever.
They have been.
They had a state of small old span where they were decent. With Eric Bieniemy and Cordell Stewart, they had a nice little window where they was solid, right? But then over the period of time, they've been bad. That was Colorado that came and talked to me in college, or high school. Let me go, where? Man, look, go to the door next door. It's another LaShawn McCoy there. This is not the one you want to talk to.
Let me ask you this.
What?
Do you believe, first off.
Because I ain't going to Colorado if Deion Sanders ain't there right now.
Let me ask you this. Do you believe that Prime, if he finished the season at 4-8, would say the season was a success?
That's all I'm saying. No.
You know him better than anybody at the desk.
Yo, from when they came from?
Shady.
Yo, how about this? When you ever go to, you've been to bad teams? Oh, my God. You went to the Browns,
right? I went 5-7 in Texas.
So, look, when you go to a bad, you come from being successful, go to a bad team, you watch all the old clips, the old games, old practice, you're like, oh, my God. I got to get these players out of there. And then you take them players, right, some of them,
Shady,
and you
not
win.
Answering the question.
Come on.
This is a stupid question. We're doing television. Why does everything have to be one or the other?
If Prime was sitting here right now, it's 4-8, he would not say the success is on the football field.
It's not a success. It's disappointing. To say that it was a complete failure.
Not complete.
It's not a failure to me. The question was, says it's a failure. I'm saying it's not a failure.
So it's like kind of a failure?
On the field, it's a failure.
No, it's not a failure,
It's not a complete failure because off the field, it has been miraculous. Miraculous. That's why it's not a complete failure. But if we made him nameless.
But hold on, though. See, this is where you lost me. Because the only reason that off the field was success was because of the winning that they did on the field.
I would disagree.
What do you mean you disagree? So if they won one game this year, we was going over there to do our show there?
We weren't, but I think Cedric the Entertainer was still going. I think Lil Baby was still going.
Can we have a serious conversation for 3 seconds?
I'm having a serious conversation.
You are telling me that sideline looks like that at the USC game if they had not won one game yet?
Yes, because of prime. Now, does it look like that? No, not in totality. But the reason that sideline was still popping, because the stadium was sold out for Colorado UCLA. Hasn't been sold out before UCLA.
Hello, the win started at the beginning of the season.
Correct.
The TCU win started all of this. And then the next win, and then the next win.
Yep.
So the hype, the energy, us going to the game, that sideline looked like that because of the wins that they had at the beginning of the season.
Their first four games, they had the most views. What point are you making?
You can't change the timeline. Like, we're here now, and you're saying that off the field it was a success.
1,000%.
Yes. The only reason that off the field success happened is because of the wins on the field that happened at the beginning of the season. But the wins validated it.
Correct.
That's why it was the story.
But what does that have to do with the fact that if you don't make a bowl game, if they don't, because keep in mind, you're making great points. We went to the USC game. The record was 3-0 maybe at the time. They've won one game since. We went to the USC game. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong. September 20th.
No, they had lost to Oregon.
They had lost to Oregon, so they're 3-1. We went September 27th. It is Chex date. November 16th. They have one win since then.
I hear you.
It's a failure.
But what I'm saying is you can't say that to Shady's point, they won one game last year, right?
Yes.
The wins on the field, touchdown, score, those things matched up with the hype of Deion Sanders and made it into what it was. So you can't say that the off-the-field success would be what it was if they didn't have the wins on the field.
Real quick, I just remember when they beat TCU and Prime got up there to that podium and he said, I told y'all we was coming, pause. Mm-hmm. You got what I'm saying? He said, we told y'all that, right? They rolled off the next two. They was 3-0. And Prime is getting up there talking. Everybody in the media is talking about how good this football team is, right? If we were to say that you are only going to win one game for the rest of the season, Prime, that's a failure. I know Deion Sanders really, really close working with Deion Sanders at the network. If Prime was sitting right here where Joy is right now, we say, Prime, you fool or whatever.
Prime, keep it real.
Is that a successful season? Prime would sit here and tell the world on the football field.
It's point blank, period. It's all about where you come from, man. I always say that.
Come on, man.
But think about
what he did at Jackson State. Jackson State was not a perennial powerhouse, and then Prime went there, and they had won 12 games. He took them a further distance, Shady, so I'm not disagreeing with you. But winning four games, it's just not that impressive.
There's no way that Shador, Travis Hunter and them think that four wins is a success. Ain't no way.
But it's not a total failure either.
On the field,
it is. So it's not a total failure and it's not a total success.
You've been on an 0-12 team, right?
And it was a failure.
Coming up, who's the best team in the NFL? Is it the Eagles? Is it the Chiefs? Ravens, Cowboys? It's time to pick six, discuss the best team in ball right now. That's next.
Y'all so judgmental, man. I need a new show.
Call Brian. He wouldn't even say that nonsense.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, family, time for pick six. This has been the most chaotic season of NFL in recent history. So who are the best six teams in football? Where does your team stack up? Pay attention to this one because it's about to get crazy. At number six, the Detroit Lions. Now, they are new to the top six because they had that bad loss to the Baltimore Ravens a couple weeks back. But after a grueling match versus the Chargers where their offense could not be stopped, they back in the top six. At number five, how about the Dallas Cowboys? You have to respect the consistency of this organization since Mike McCarthy has took over and Dak Prescott has been healthy. Once again, they are starting to get in a rhythm, starting to rattle off wins. At number four, a team that is playing in the game tonight. All eyes are on them. All eyes on you, Lamar Jackson, and the Baltimore Ravens. Now they're down two spots.
They lost to the Browns. Lamar Jackson, fourth quarter turnover, lost another double-digit lead. It wasn't good, but they're still a top-flight team. I got confidence in them. At number three, the Niners, they jumped all the way into the top three spot. Why? Because we know what they're capable of. I haven't forgotten their five-game win streak. I haven't forgotten the fact that they beat the brakes off the Jags, beat the brakes off the Cowboys, and have two of the top five most impressive wins all season long. When the Niners win, they win big, and they reminded the whole world that they're back. Number three spot. Number two, Kansas City Chiefs. They went all the way to Germany, got a dub. I mean, they beat the Miami Dolphins, and they did it in convincing fashion. Patrick Mahomes, he's starting to figure it out, but it's not about him. It's about the defense. Number two in points allowed, number four in total defense. That defense is rolling, and Patrick Mahomes is one of the greatest to ever do it. And at number one, a team that will see the Chiefs, the Philadelphia Eagles. They sit alone with the best record in football. These are the best six teams right here, right now. But as usual, this list gonna change because I don't even know if these teams realize if they're good or not just yet. When we return, Bengals, they're last place in the AFC North, and now they face the Ravens. It's the best Thursday night game we have seen all season, maybe the best in the last 3 to 5 years. Ravens, Bengals, come back to find out who wins and why. That's next on Speak. Hurry up, offense family, and Joe Burrow needs to hurry up and get that loss out from under his belt against the Texans last week. He can do so, though, in just under 2 hours. Bengals, Ravens, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow. It's the biggest Thursday night game we have seen all season long. Joy, I said it earlier, I will say it again, and it was very intriguing, I guess, to the desk when I said, if Joe Burrow loses this game and thus the Bengals have a hard time making the playoffs, I would have to take Joe Burrow out of that elite conversation. And the reason being is we call Joe Burrow elite because he wins. Mm-hmm. But if he loses this game, it's not about this game. Mm-hmm. If he loses this game and then misses the playoffs, I can't keep sitting here arguing that he's elite because people are going to say, Acho, he's only made the playoffs twice in 4 years. He's missed the playoffs as many times as he made it. How the heck you going to tell me Burrow's elite when Jalen Hurts makes the playoffs every year, when Mahomes makes the playoffs every year, when to this point Josh Allen has made the playoffs the last 3-4 years? How you going to tell him he's elite? You can't.
I'm right with you.
So where I'm at, Joy, with what is at stake tonight for Joe Burrow, clearly a win, making the playoffs. But then you could even say the elite dialogue around his name.
Well, we can't have the conversation until they actually miss the playoffs. Obviously, if they lose tonight, it's going to become even harder. They really need to win tonight. And for the rest of the season, they have one AFC win. They're up against it. So assuming that they miss the playoffs, which is what the conversation that we're having. I mean, can we say there's a difference between making the playoffs and going to the Super Bowl?
Of course.
And there's a difference between making the play. Because we're saying, like, make the playoffs, like, he did a little more than make the playoffs. Like, he made it to a Super Bowl, and then they went to an AFC championship game, right? So there's a difference between just making the playoffs and going to a Super Bowl and going to an AFC championship game. I guess where I would agree, it is a, unlike the last block, it is a failure based off the expectations and what we've already seen him do. And to your point, we put him in that elite category because of the winning. It's also because of the skill and because of the leadership and because of what he does on the field, of course. But all of that leads to the winning. So it would be a failure. We might have to contextualize it a little bit. But I don't know that I can jump that far yet. Because unless we're really slimming down the definition of elite. Because I think Mahomes is in a different category already. And I don't think anyone is particularly close to him.
I don't know, man, because out of all the quarterbacks other than Patrick Mahomes, even Patrick Mahomes, where you could be in any playoff spot, I think out of all of them, I do believe that Joe Burrow, no matter if he's the one seed or last seed, if he get in that playoffs, he has a chance to beat everybody.
Right.
And I think a lot of teams know that about Joe, so that's why I make the big thing about making the playoffs, because if he's elite, you should be in the playoffs. And he's that good, and he's done it before, where you put me anywhere. We can have all away games. We're going to find a way to win games. That's what Joe Burrow is. That's what makes him a superstar elite quarterback. That's why, to me, he has to make a playoffs.
Yeah.
Every year, because that's how good he is. Yeah. It's the reason why everybody has Patrick Mahomes number one, but they have Joe, he right there at number two, with no MVPs or no Super Bowls. Mm-hmm. Think about that for a second. People, they make the argument with Joe Burrow so close to Mahomes, even though Mahomes is a different level, and he don't have no Super Bowls or no MVPs.
Yeah, yeah.
This is things that he's accomplished at a young age and the things they know he can accomplish if he has the opportunity to do it.
This is big for Joe Burrow. This is really big for Joe Burrow. And it's a lot on the line. The playoffs is on the line. And if he don't make the playoffs, I'm with you guys. We can't call him elite. The main reason we call him elite, because before he got into the National Football League, the elite quarterbacks was Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen. He's 5-1 versus them. Yeah. That is why we putting Joe Burrow in that elite conversation. And he beat both of them in the playoffs. You know, he beat Patty to go to the Super Bowl. He sent Josh home. He's 5-1 against those dudes that was elite quarterbacks. And now you're going up against another very good quarterback in a must-win game. And the reason why we put you in these conversations is because must-wins was easy for you. Must-wins, everybody's picking Joe Burrow for what Joe Burrow has shown. So this is a must-win. If he does not make the playoffs, yes, it's going to be tough to put him in them categories. And let's not forget, he the highest paid man in the league. You're if right. We was talking about any other quarterback being the highest paid man in the league not making the playoffs, we would kill him no matter what they accomplish. Yeah. So he has to get this one done, because this one has big implications if he even going to sniff them playoffs.
If it ain't A-Rod, he don't like him.
Why you say that? I like all these quarterbacks.
If you don't keep accountable, I guess I got to.
Somebody has to.
Because you won't.
Somebody has to with the desk.
The producers don't.
Nope.
Yeah, we said all type of stuff,
I just
man.
Answer the question.
You got to say that Josh Allen's going to get traded in 2 years. Like, come on, man.
Nobody said anything.
Come on,
that's
bro.
Ridiculous. Couple years.
That's ridiculous.
Listen to the man.
When we return, we will give you all the predictions on the biggest Thursday night game of the year. Ooh. Ravens, Bengals.
It's a game.
Who will win? Y'all got to come back for that next on Speak. Two-minute drill, family. Bengals, Ravens, biggest Thursday night game of the season. I'm kicking it off, Shady. I am going with the Bengals. Ooh. Joe Burrow bounces back.
Elite.
He got to stay elite. I think Joe Burrow is the second-best quarterback in football, and I am trusting Joe Burrow to prove me right. Marlon Humphrey is going to be out, I believe, with that calf injury. Ja'Marr Chase has been getting busy. I need Ja'Marr to keep getting busy. I like the Bengals 2-5.
2-5? 2-5? I'm going Lamar Action Jackson. They don't lose back-to-back games. They don't do that.
Never have.
I haven't been on Speak. I haven't seen it on Speak since I've been here. So I'm going Action Jackson. He comes back. He's a big, big win at home. He does big, big things. That's why I love to watch him play. Let's
get it. Prime time at the crib. I'm going to go with Lamar Jackson and the Ravens.
Get it. Jordan Taylor.
And I wanted all y'all to go with like one team since I'm so far back in the pick so I could go somewhere. I guess I'll try to catch Acho. I'm going Lamar Jackson.
Let's go.
I'm taking the Baltimore Ravens in
this
one.
Will Joe Burrow play bad? Or you think Lamar Jackson will just play better? That Ravens defense is really good.
No, but keep in mind, they're without Hubbard and T. Higgins tonight.
Correct. No T. Higgins.
On a short.
That's going to matter.
It's definitely going to matter. Yeah. I think Ja'Marr got to get busy, though. Ja'Marr got to go for about 47. Yeah. And two
get
tugs.
The ball to Joe Mixon a little bit, please.
Pass and run.
All right, family, that's it for us. We'll see y'all tomorrow. Same time, same place.
I'm a holler.